Good morning again. I haven't got to say hello to everybody, but I am glad that you're here. I'm glad that we're here. We had a wonderful week at camp, and I am so grateful that many of you chose to pray for us, because I know that on our way home, the Eastside congregation bus was in a wreck, but no one was seriously injured, and I really, truly believe that God was watching out for us and watching out for that bus, for all of those young people on it. And so I'm just thankful that you're praying for us. A number of things, wonderful things happened. As you heard earlier in a prayer that Adam was baptized at camp, so was Kimberly Turley. She is here with us often, and Kimmy is a wonderful, sweet lady. Hopefully many of you already know her, and the rest, if you haven't, you'll get to meet her. Also, I just wanted to share a few things with you about what happened. At the end of the week, we look at our campers and the counselors get together and we talk about the campers and say, what campers stood out this week that went above and beyond? Not that any of them were bad. I mean, we have a lot of wonderful kids, so it's really picky and choosy just to get to a list of people who we want to recognize in a special way. And Adam Dethridge was the outstanding high school Bible student for the week. And Hayden was the outstanding overall high school camper of the week. And Kimberly was an outstanding high school showing faith during the week. And Sydney Winchester was with us as well. She was the outstanding high school girl Bible student. And then in the junior high cabin, the outstanding overall camper was Brendan Rodriguez. So you see these young people, pat them on the back and tell them what an amazing job. Now these are not, those are awards that ultimately come from me, but it's really easy when you sit down with 25 adults and they say, hey, this is who we need to recognize. These are the kids that have stood out, and I'm just grateful that several of those young people that got those awards were from here, that went with us. So it speaks highly of your young people in this congregation. So thank you. One of the things we talked about at camp one day, and our theme was A New Hope, but one of the days we talked about in one specific area, we talked about the myths of this world. And we talked about what the world wants us to believe, what the world wants us to understand or think about our life or think about ourselves, who we are. And we wanted to look at some of those myths and say, this is why the world believes these things. This is not the reality, the truth of what's really going on in our life. This is not who we really are. This is not who God really is. This is not, and we looked at a lot of those things. And so I was thinking, this is something that I really wanted to share with you, because in that discussion, while we were having it, one of the things that really hit home with me, that sank in really in at home with me, was the what I want to share with you this morning. And we'll get there in a minute. But how many of you have ever watched that show MythBusters? I mentioned this, I think, a few weeks ago, and I don't remember if it was in a sermon or on Wednesday night or what it was. I can't even remember. But there was a show called MythBusters. And those guys were pretty funny, and they did all kinds of crazy things. And what they did was, in the hundreds of shows that they did, they would look at something and go, is this real or is it not? Does this really happen or does this not really happen? And so someone gave them a lot of money and said, you know what, go figure it out. If it's real or if it's true, can you prove it or not, or disprove it, and you can show it on this show. And it was really popular. There were a lot of people watching it. And there was, I mean, literally hundreds of different ideas. I remember one of them they said was, if you drop a piece of glass off of a however many story building, what would it do if it hit a person? I don't know who sits around and thinks that stuff up. But they said, it depends upon what kind of glass it is. I don't know. And I don't know what they tried to accomplish with that. But, you know, here are a few of the things that they came up with. One of them was, can you put your hand into a vat of molten lead and it not burn you? So they experimented. And they said, if you dip your hand in a cold water before you do it, you can actually put your hand in molten lead and without burning yourself. I don't know who wants to experiment with that. But my hand's not going in there. I don't care if you even tell me it doesn't burn you. I don't believe you. But they did that. They weaved the pages of two phone books together because someone said, well, it's impossible to pull apart two books once all the pages are weaved together like that. Two phone books. Do you know what kind of force it takes to pull those apart? They do. They tested it. 8,000 pounds of pressure it takes to pull two phone books apart. I know that you really wanted to know that. You've always heard that phrase about a lead balloon, right? They said, well, let's test that theory. Can you actually make a balloon out of lead? They figured out you actually can make a balloon out of lead. Well, there you go. Now you know everything, right? They also found that a household vacuum cleaner has enough suction that it can actually lift an automobile off of the ground. Now, I don't mean you can grab your vacuum and go and stick it on top of the car and lift the car up, but that vacuum causes enough suction that the contraption they put on it with only that force can actually lift a car up off the ground. I thought that was pretty impressive. But one that really hit, and I don't remember, I think I may have said this on a Wednesday night, but the kids and all the things that I talked about, this is the one they laughed and had a quizzical look on their face. But under the right circumstances, if a police officer sprays you down with the OC spray, the pepper spray that they carry, and then one of them tasers you, you can actually catch on fire from that taser. And I loved it when I said that to the kids. I was teaching, and some of them, I don't even remember, some of the boys that were in that classroom, they could probably tell you who said it, but they were looking and they were going, with this quizzical look and going, who volunteered for that? Who is the one that's going to volunteer for something like that, for them to prove or disprove something like that? I don't know. I don't know who would do that. It wouldn't be me. I'm not the one raising my hand. That's not one of those things. I don't even want to be tased. I don't want to be sprayed with OC spray. I sure don't want to catch on fire with it all. But Mythbusters, they do these things and they say, well, what's the truth? What's the reality if this, can this happen or can this not happen? And so we looked at those things and then we transitioned very quickly into the myths of this world. What is the world telling us about life? Who are we? What's going on? And so one of the things that I believe in, it became more important, is why I wanted to really share this with you. I mentioned this again a few weeks back. The bumper sticker. Have any of you ever seen the bumper sticker? This coexist bumper sticker. The philosophy behind it, and it has changed. There are multiple different designs for this. I believe this was the original one, as best as I could track it down, and that the dozens of different ones I looked at, they said this was the original one. And you can look at there's three symbols, the crescent moon, the star of David, and the cross. What they originally said and coexist was all the major religions in the world, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity can coexist. We just accept each other because we're all serving the same God. We're all going to the same place. We're all going to get there. We're just taking different routes to do it. Now, that's how it originated. But through the years, it has kind of taken on a new look. And as you look at it now, there are a lot of different symbols on there that didn't used to be on there. You still have the crescent moon, the beginning of it right here. But now they've added, well, not really added much to the crescent moon, but that's back in the 14th century. That's Islam. That was associated and always has been. That hasn't changed. But now then, the O is now a peace sign with Roman markings on it as well, Mars and Venus. And when you add those things together, now we're talking not just the peace sign, the nuclear thing that originally was a long time ago, but now it's the LGBT, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender crowd has come up. That's their sign, so we're going to add that to it. Then the next one, the E, which was assigned mathematically, talking about, well, the certainties of math and of science and those things. But if you notice, if you look under it, it also, they've added evolution. So now we're talking at least Darwinian evolution, ideas, the principle behind it, is now we want to coexist with those thoughts. There is no God, there's any kind of religion, there's all kinds of philosophical ideas, and we'll add all that together. Then Judaism. Then the next signs, we look at paganism. The Wiccans has become another driving force in our world. Witchcraft. All of those things are there and exist. The Chinese symbols, the yin and the yang, those philosophies. And then the last one, obviously, the cross. And so the whole point is, in this coexist movement, our idea is everything, regardless of what it is, regardless of who you are, where you are, what your ideas are, that we can all coexist. We all come together. We all embrace everything that everybody is, whatever you believe in, whatever direction you're traveling in this life. All of us are together, and we're all going there. So let's just be united. Let's do things together, because once we reach this, once we're able to do these things and we all can coexist, we can all become together as one, then we'll have the strongest, most powerful, most united people in the world, in the history of the world. Man, it sounds good, doesn't it? And we have millions and millions, billions of people buying into this idea. At least it sounds really, really good. And so we get these things and we fly the flags, we put posters on our walls, we put bumper stickers on our cars, we do all of these things slowly but surely to get everybody to buy in. We need to be friendly with our neighbors. In reality, what we're saying is, God doesn't exist. There is no God. You are your own God. You are the one who decides who you are, what your future is all about, and what kind of life you're going to live. It's up to you to bring about peace and tranquility in this world. It's up to you to settle all the world's problems. And the only way it can be done is if we get rid of God and we usher in our own philosophical ideas. So, we look at this. When we realize that the world is trying to bring about unity of all the people, unity will only come from the acceptance of everyone in whatever state that person's in, only when we can come together, and only when we take all the religions of the world, all of them, and we couple those things with all the human philosophies that have ever existed, only when we put all of those in that pot and we mix it all together and we come out with the final thing, will we understand and will we know peace. Know who we are. Understand what life is all about. That's a myth. That's not reality. There is absolute no truth whatsoever in that ideology. Number one, here are a few of the myths that come from this that I understand or that I see. You are who you are. When you're born, this is who you are. Every time you look at yourself in the mirror, that's who you are. You were born as you are right now. That you were born with that. With all of those traits, with all of those things, that's who you are. And there's no sense in even trying to get away from it. Just embrace who you are. That's what we're saying. Is that true? No. There's been extensive research done, and the only thing we're born with is whether you're a boy or a girl. That's it. Everything else is a clean slate. And through all of our influences in this life, through all of our friendships, all of the movies and television we watch, the music we listen to, the family we're raised in, the country we're raised in, all of those things influence us to become who we are. So every time we look in the mirror, we have to realize that the world is trying to say, it's okay, you can be whoever you are, whoever you want to be, and everything's okay with that. Reality is, that's not true. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he says, do not be conformed to this world. Now listen to what he says. Do not be conformed. The whole point, he says, is don't let the world tell you who you are is okay. Don't let the world tell you this is what you need to look like. And you need to embrace everything that exists. You can't. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's not going to happen automatically. We're not born with it. We're going to choose whether to follow God. We're going to choose whether to know what the will of God is. We're going to choose whether we want to know what reality in this life is, or we're just going to accept it. We're going to be conformed to this world. Paul says, don't do it, whatever you do. Again, to Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says in verses 12 and 13, now we have received not the spirit of this world. Listen closely what he says. We haven't received the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God. Don't make a mistake to think that who we are is part of this world, that the Spirit is what of this world is what's transforming and is making us, and we are who we are, and we have no power over that. But we have the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We know, we speak, we combine. You hear what he's saying? It's not automatic. It's not easy. We're going to make a conscious choice. But the Spirit of God is the one who's going to lead us. God's Spirit is the one who's going to give us wisdom. Not this world, not the spirit of this world, but God's Spirit. You want wisdom in this world? You want to understand who you are? When you look in the mirror at your face, you ask, who am I? You're not going to find it in this world. You'll find it in God and only in God. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 9 and 11, he says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Now, immediately, when you hear that, probably what we begin thinking is, he's talking about the people, those crazy, wild nutcases in this world that come up with crazy things. As he says, that's not who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the people of this world. He says, what I'm talking about are the people inside the church who are acting immorally. He says, you don't associate with them, because what I'm telling you is, I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm just telling you, don't be of the world. You don't follow the world, and you don't follow just because people claim to be a Christian and that they claim to have all the answers. You don't follow that. Because we understand that people are wrong. A lot. And if you've ever been in the class that I've taught, and our kids know it, I've told it to them, I couldn't tell you how many times, don't take what I say as gospel. Because I was wrong once. At least I thought I was. That's a joke. Maybe a bad one. I've been wrong before. And I'm not God. I don't want you to walk out here and quote me and say, well, this is what my youth minister or my preacher now, this is what he said. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I have to say. The only thing that matters is what God has to say. And if we can't come here and open up this word and open it up and say, this is what God says, and then we don't have anything to offer. Paul says, don't associate with immoral people. Don't associate with immoral brothers. Don't associate with them. He says, don't even eat with such a one. Why? Because they know the truth and they don't believe it. And when they don't want to know who God is, then what we have to say is, you know what? I can't be a part of this. You've already chosen who you are, and you've made a conscious choice to say, God is not important enough in my life to change who I am. I can't change you. But you can, the longer you're with someone, be changed by them. Paul says, don't do it. Don't let them change you. Don't let them tell you who you are. You are not born who you are and what you see in the mirror. You've chosen to be that person. So don't make that on God. Don't put that on God. Don't say, God, you're the one who did this to me. You're the one who made me this way, because God didn't do it. You chose to do those things. You chose to put those people in your life. You chose to put yourself in those situations. You chose to do those things. It's your choice, not God's. Don't blame Him for what you chose to do. That's what Paul is saying. Myths. Acceptance is going to lead to tranquility. Acceptance is going to lead to peace. Acceptance is going to lead to meaning. Once again, we're going to find our meaning in this life. We're going to find peace in this life. We're going to find that tranquil place where there won't be any more wars and there won't be any of those kinds of things. If we can all come together and we can just love each other and we can sing Kumbaya with everyone around the fire pit, no matter what anyone believes or thinks, then everything's going to be good. It's never happened and never will be. There will never be tranquility or peace in this life without God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you hear anything about we're having peace from this world and from all those religious world and those philosophical things and all of that? Is that where peace comes from? He says, no, you want peace with God, the one who created this world, the one who sustains life in this world? Do you want to have peace? Then you better understand Jesus Christ. Have you given your life to Him? Once we do that, once we understand that, then comes the peace with God. And it may not be peace with man around me. It may not be peace with all those other people. But the only thing that matters is, do we have peace with God? Is God okay with us? Is my relationship with God okay? Because He's the one who's going to say, welcome or depart from me. He's the only one that has that power. And you remember when the Lord said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, right after Philip said, well, Lord, we don't even know where you're going, so how do we know how to get there? And the Lord said, what? In verse 6, I am the way. I am the truth. Here He says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did He beat around the bush? Did He tell us, no, you can get to the Father any way you want. You can get through this prophet, or you can get through this philosophy, or you can get through if you do enough works, if you do... No, He said, quit. That's not where you need to focus your life. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way back to peace. There's only one way that you'll have a tranquil life. There's only one way you can go home at night, lay your head on that pillow, and go, what a good life I have. Now, that may be rough. You may have to work hard. You may not get all the promotions at work. You may be not liked by the people around you. Your family may even disown you. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. It's hard. God never said everything was going to be smooth. But if your life is right, if your life is right with Him, then we have peace. Then the tranquility will come in our life. I guess the reality is this. Anytime that we accept any form of a deity, what we say is God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. Unity only happens once we give our life to Jesus Christ. There's only one symbol that we need to even see in our life. There's only one symbol that this world needs to see ever in their life to bring about unity. There's only one thing that will unite this world. And we either believe it or we don't. We either want it or we don't want it. And if we're not focused, if we're not trying to unite the world right here, then we have nothing to offer this world. Absolutely nothing to offer them. Redemption comes through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we know these passages. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. Jesus Christ. There's only one cross. There's only one Christ. And there's only one that will bring us back into a union, a perfect union with God the Father. And it's only in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to understand redemption? It only comes in Jesus Christ. The only way that this world will be redeemed back to that place of perfection is in Jesus Christ. The only thing this world that we have to offer this world is Jesus Christ. What else do we need to offer? God already did it. Unity is coexistence. When we're talking about unity, there's only one unity. There's only one way to find unity, and that's in Jesus Christ. Again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. For just as you have, this is what he says, just as you have many members. Look around this auditorium this morning. This church right here, this family, look around. How many members of this body are there? He says, there are many members, but one body. All of these members are of one body. And Paul will even use at other places, he'll use analogy of the different parts. Some of us are fingers. Some of us are arms. Some of us are elbows. Some of us are little toes. Whatever we are, we're part of the body. But we're no less part of the body than any other part of the body is. There's many members, but one body. And all the members do not have the same function. We don't do the same things. But we're still a body. And I've said it before, and I don't know a better way because I've done it too many times. When you swing a hammer and you miss the nail head and you hit the nail on your thumb, what happens? If you don't think every part from your hair follicles to your toenails, don't focus on that thumb, you're crazy. You've never hit your thumb with a hammer. Because you drop the hammer and it immediately goes into, or at least in my mouth, it goes in my mouth. I'm going, oh! I don't know why it goes in my mouth. I don't know that that helps at all, but my whole body is saying, ow, that hurts. And it doesn't matter if it's only 1/10 or 1/1000th of 1% of the rest of the body. It goes throughout the body because we are one body. You want to understand unity, then you'll understand the body is one. There isn't more than one. There's only one body. We are one body. In Christ Jesus is what he says. Galatians chapter 3, 28. I love this passage. Paul's talking to the church in Galatia. He says, you know what? There is, and he looks out at all this crowd, and he says, I want you to understand something. Look around you. Do people look different? Some of us, our skin color is a little bit different, isn't it? He says, you know, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't even matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter any of those things. He says, because there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave or free man. There is neither man nor woman, but all of us are one in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to come to be united in this world, and that's in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can tear down all the barriers that exist. All of those things in this life, only He can tear those things down. Only He can bring us about to one. True unity or coexistence, if you will, can only come through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where are you this morning? Are you united with God? Do you have peace with God? Do you understand justification? Have you been sanctified? Has God separated you from this world? Do you have all? You don't have any of that if you're not in Jesus Christ. You don't have it. That's not me. Man, I want you to have it. I want you to know the knowledge that you have, that you being in Jesus Christ, you have everything that God has offered you as His child. You have meaning. We find our existence in God. We find meaning in Jesus Christ. The only message we have to give to this world of unity or how we exist is in Jesus Christ. How do we get there? Well, we know that God gave him. God said, I'm going to give you the absolute best that I have to offer. There's nothing else that I have to give you. I can't get anything bigger. I can't get anything better. I can't get anything more significant or more important than my son. That's the best of heaven. That's the best that I have. And I'm willing to give you every single thing that I have in my son. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? That's what will unite you in him. How do we get there? Paul says it very clearly in Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27. We are immersed into Jesus Christ. When we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior before man, we confess his name and say, you are the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to rule in my life. I want you to lead me. I want you to give me all of that. And we say, okay, then I want to die to that world. I want to be transformed. And he's willing to do that. Right now, he's willing to transform your life if you want it to be transformed. If you want to be united with the body of Christ, this is how it happens. Is that the end? No. That's just the beginning. Then our life starts. Then God guides us. And we have all these blessings. And we'll talk about that for the rest of your life. We'll talk about all of those things. Because there is a lot of information, a lot of love in this book for us. And it's yours if you accept Jesus Christ. Where are you right now? You need to begin that walk? You can. Right now. If you need to do that, won't you come right now while we stand and we sing together?